on a Friday. You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Google released its year in search, and searches that started with the word virtual figured prominently. Museums can take heart. Among the most popular searches that started with the V word, virtual museum tours. Did you pay a visit to the Louvre this year? Maybe the Guggenheim? Have you checked out the birds and art videos from the Leakey Woodson Art Museum in Wausau? What about the Gladys Nilsson Out of This World virtual tour? It is eye-popping, I can tell you, from the Madison Museum of Contemporary Art straight to a computer screen near you. Join in on the art scene in the pandemic, 800-642-1234. Audrey Moore is the program manager at Artists Working in Education. Audrey, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hello, thank you for having me today.
Hi, and we also have Emily Sullivan here, Director of Youth and Family Programs at Milwaukee Art Museum. Emily, welcome to you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So the Milwaukee Art Museum, Emily, offers so many different programs and resources, and you had to take all of those, so many of those offerings, and translate them into this virtual space. How have you shifted and adapted in these times?
Well, absolutely.
Big breath, right?
Yeah, well, that too. We moved all of our programming online in March. And, you know, as we approached that, we tried to make sure we stayed true to our original, you know, mission and working with youth and families, creating meaningful arts experiences, and just helping support families in learning about art, looking at it, talking about it, and making it. So we've been making our own videos, learning all about that, and also thinking, you know, with the stress of the pandemic, thinking about infusing even a little extra like humor and warmth and fun into what we're doing.
We just need to laugh more, right? And that can go such a long way in order to get through these days.
Absolutely. So, yes, we've moved all of our programs online, everything from events to story time. We've also found that families are really looking for flexibility. Mm-hmm. So we're premiering videos on Facebook, but then they're also available later on our website. And we also have a resource called Museum Moments, where you can look at art together and you can, you know, just print it off or look at it on your phone anytime.
Audrey, Artists Working in Education, AWE, you typically are partnering with the libraries, you know, after school activities with libraries around the city. And so many libraries are closed or have limited hours or limited ability to have these offerings in person. What do your activities look like right now?
So currently we are operating with all virtual programming, with the exception of we've assembled art kits that we have distributed at the Milwaukee Public Library, where kids have an option with a assortment of different materials that we've assembled, and it's all free of charge. But then there's the option of joining in with a virtual workshop with one of our artists to do a project with them as well. So they have the tools, and they also have the teacher, the artist with them virtually. We were also able to do this in the live with the park system this summer, where artists were able to socially distance and distribute kits to the park, especially where Milwaukee Recreation was located as well. And they were able to join in on different YouTube videos that our artists would make and they would show you how to make certain projects with the tools within the art kit.
Yeah, what was a big hit in these art kits? What were you putting in there?
Oh, gosh, we actually have a lot of different themed ones. We have definitely like your typical drawing one. We have watercolor one. We have like a more experimental one, which is the 3D one, where we try to encourage people to use recyclables. And then also we the one that's coming up that I'll be leading in the near future, there's one where you're going to be doing more like a watercolor geoid kind of experiment. So it's kind of like more abstract, but then also like you're working with nature. So I think it's important too, like while we're still connected with art, I still want to bring in that nature aspect because like we're not getting outside as much as often, but like let's try to bring that nature inside with our artwork then.
I love it. And I love it being able to have all the tools you need inside one box to be able to do an activity. I mean, as a parent, that is so helpful. So you're not just scrambling around the house finding, you know, that specific type of twine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Like, wait, what? There's like different types. Like, yes, there's different types. But yeah, especially considering like there's not enough time, especially to like, I like leave the house like, oh, I need this one thing. Like, no one, we need to be staying inside as much as possible. And that's why we're happy to provide these tools and these wonderful art supplies to families, but we're also so happy to still be connected with people virtually with the videos that we post on YouTube. And also sometimes we do live stream and Zoom and partnering with the library as well. So it's not the same as being the libraries and the parks, but it's what we can, the best we can do right now. It was so everyone's safe, but still creating.
Yeah, I hear the optimism in your voice, and that helps. Audrey Moore is with us, program manager at Artists Working in Education, AWE, they call it. We're talking about bringing art projects and gatherings to the virtual space. We also have Emily Sullivan, director of youth and family programs at Milwaukee Art Museum, explaining what they're doing. You can join in. Do you love art, or have you been working on a box that contains supplies and creating art at home? Join in at 800-642-1234. Emily, how did you learn how to do this in this pandemic era? Like, knowing how to be able to translate all these different activities, different outreach efforts, and making them work in a virtual space?
Well, I would definitely say we're learning as we go. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, we've had, you know, practice with the programs in another, you know, like in the in-person format. So we just tried to think, you know, what's essential in those experiences, and thinking of things that we want to retain. Like, we always try to greet families with a smile. So, you know, just remembering to start our videos with that. Also, often we'll do demonstrations. So thinking about how we can show detail work with our hands in a video. But again, there has also been some trial and error.
Yeah. What are some things that have worked well and other things that you've kind of let go of?
Well, one thing that we learned right away is that, you know, in some cases, shorter is better. Mm-hmm. And it's better perhaps to make a shorter video that people can take in all at one time and then come back to it. And so that's been really interesting for us. Also, we've tried to choose materials that families can find around the house, you know, that they have easy access to, but show them unusual ways to use them. So, you know, for instance, for our Kohl's Family Sunday program that's going on through the 20th, we're using a lot of paper, or, you know, like a found box, but showing families how they can cut or fold or arrange materials in a new way to make those everyday materials a little more special.
Oh, yeah, certainly. And kind of bringing them to life and thinking about those everyday objects in brand new ways through art. Emily Sullivan, Director of Youth and Family Programs at Milwaukee Art Museum, with us. Audrey Moore is Program Manager at Artists Working in Education. We're saluting the arts organizations that brought their collections, their events online this year. Have you been to the John Michael Kohler Art Center site and watching that incredibly creative tribute to its long-tenured late director and champion of the arts, Ruth Kohler? Gotta check it out. How are you supporting your local arts community? 800-642-1234 to join in. Back in a minute for more Wisconsin Weekend here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. Question for you. Did you do the Getty Museum Challenge? Oh my goodness. This will be the way I remember the art world in COVID, seeing my daughter make a photo of herself recreating her favorite Frida Kahlo masterpiece. And for days, we ran around the house trying to use objects to recreate this piece of art. kudos to her art teacher for making this a class assignment. It was so much fun. How did you view the arts this year? Did you do a virtual museum tour or a makers event? How did your Getty Museum Challenge turn out? Tell us about it, 800-642-1234. Emily Sullivan is Director of Youth and Family Programs at Milwaukee Art Museum. Audrey Moore is Program Manager at Artists Working in Education, and they're with us for the hour. Audrey, did you do the Getty Museum Challenge? Just curious.
I unfortunately did not, but that sounds like such a fun opportunity. Is it still available?
Oh my gosh. It's been going, and you know, you just see all of these efforts from around the world recreating masterpieces. Emily, what about you? Did you do the Getty?
Not personally, but I did enjoy seeing the images that give me quite a laugh.
Oh my gosh, they were so brilliant. Let's bring in a call now. John is joining us from Sabin this morning. Hi, John.
Good morning. Arts and education is a very good thing for youth because it gets their mind working. I would like to recommend the medium of paint and wood. When you take a piece of scrap wood, you can build a birdhouse. A little child can operate a saw and a hammer and build a birdhouse or a doghouse. Maybe dream about your first small house, and you can paint it white with red trim, with a red roof. You can paint it anything. The Sistine Chapel, Michelangelo painted the ceiling, but it's a beautiful building, a work of art.
Oh, John, thank you for that. Emily, do you work in wood with your patrons and your kids?
We try to use all different kinds of materials. And, you know, I agree. Really, the more materials, the better. Actually, as he was speaking, I was reminded of my colleague's Playdate with Art program geared just for the 5 and under set. So in that program, Diane leads activities you can make. But then also in a recent one, she did a sculpture stacking project. You know, something that you assemble and then can take down and then can reassemble or add other materials from around the house. So, yeah, definitely. I think playing with different materials can add to the rich experience.
Audrey, have you played around with wood scraps in your boxes?
Oh, we haven't done that with the toolkit, the art kits that we've given out to kids. But I know the program I personally run, Rising Artist Council, which is geared towards artists who are teens and tweens, I definitely encourage them to do a lot of mixed media work as well, and not just painting or watercolor or drawing. I like to encourage them to bring in some of the more tactile materials with their artwork, because it's nice to get away from those more traditional mediums as well.
Yeah, when you mentioned tweens and teenagers, how do you capture the attention of the older kids in art workshops and really connect with them?
It's definitely been, I wouldn't say a challenge, but it's definitely been a process. It's been really helpful considering that I try to give everybody grace during this time because of, like, with teens and tweens, there's a lot of screen fatigue, and I just want to give them the space to create art without any bounds, basically. Granted, I do give them prompts, I do give them projects to work on that I hopefully will expand their creativity and imagination, but I definitely still want to give them that space to know that, like, it's okay to make mistakes in this hemisphere, like the sphere of art. But also, it also helps out that the program Rising Arts Council that I run, we provide stipends for them. So if they complete certain projects, then they get paid for their artwork then.
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. You know, do you find that there is that fatigue out there of them being online all day and then trying to be creative offline?
I definitely do see that. I mean, sometimes I do get the encouragement from some saying that I'm just really looking forward to getting to do a prompt, or I'm excited just to see other people who are making art. And I think the most important thing to understand when working with teens and especially with screen fatigue is that We're all in this together, basically. I think we all need to understand that we're all learning. We're all learning at the same pace, basically. And there isn't really a formula to do this. So I think the fact that we're all trying and at least picking up a pencil or a pen once in a while, I think that's the greatest success that we can have during this time.
We're talking with Audrey Moore, who is Program Manager for Artists Working in Education. Emily Sullivan is Director of Youth and Family Programs at Milwaukee Art Museum. And they're discussing how arts organizations, how museums have brought their offerings online this year and connected with families and students. You can join in. Are you an artist? What would you like to tell others about your art? What kind of art do you enjoy? Is it painting or photography, sculpture? Join in 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Bill now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Bill.
Good morning, everybody. I'm a teacher of writing from Milwaukee High School of the Arts. Arts in education is absolutely essential. It synthesizes everything that the kids have learned in their other course. In fact, we did a show at the Milwaukee Art Museum many years ago where we brought Milwaukee High School of the Arts there. My kids took over the theater. We had a little jazz band there, and the kids wrote about what they had seen from paintings that their colleagues had done. It inspired them to write. Arts and education is absolutely essential to learning. And people have to quit thinking that everybody has to be special to do it. Everybody can do it.
Oh, Bill, thank you so much for that. Emily, I mean, what an inspiration to hear how your museum was this gathering place for Bill's students.
I love hearing that. And, you know, during this time, we've been excited to continue to feature local artists, local musicians, either making their own videos or filming them at the museum when it's closed with social distancing, and then, you know, featuring their craft online. And, you know, the caller mentioned also inspiration from art. You know, we love to hear that. And one benefit of this time has been how we're not able to just use artworks that are on view as inspiration, but we can use anything like in the museum's vaults. I know that our Kohl's Art Studio teachers have just really enjoyed seeing like every option for inspiration when creating projects.
What is the status of the museum right now? Is it closed?
The museum is closed through January 15th.
Okay.
You know, along with some other the larger arts organizations downtown. But and so it's kind of a wait and see, you know, so we're kind of in the same wait and see boat as everyone else right now.
Yeah. I mean, how have you been adjusting and adapting to that, to not really knowing what you might the status might be next month or next week? How do you work around that and try to make sure you're ready for that day when you can bring your offerings back in person?
Well, it's definitely been an adjustment, and I think our whole team is getting used to ambiguity. Yeah. But, you know, we're certainly staying busy and just trying to continue to connect with families and, you know, still making trips to the museum, you know, taking in the inspiration from the art. So, and then, we do a lot of Zoom calls now too. So even though I don't get to see my colleagues in person, you know, we see each other on the screen a lot. We're staying in touch. So, you know, we're just so excited to welcome families back and run our programs in person.
Right. Yeah. Audrey, you know, how does the boxes that you create, the projects that you do, connect with STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math? How do you integrate that plus the arts and get STEAM?
I would definitely say that actually we do have one workshop that we recently did where we brought in an animator, a cartoonist, John Brown. We actually were able to work with a free online a game creator. It's called Bitsy, where we created a series of how-to videos, how to work with this free this free platform online, and then he led a workshop actually to show you how to use it as well. So we'd like to try to incorporate using free online resources to bring in that STEAM element as well. Also including with some of our kids, like I mentioned before, with the geoid activity, with bringing in the nature aspect of it, bringing in nature and art, how they both collide with each other as well.
Oh, that's fascinating. So they can also learn a new skill in the process as well.
Yeah, we actually, over the summer too, when we paired with the park system, we have one of our artist teams, team innovators, they worked with a lot of different free online platforms to work with more digital art, working with more game animation, and working even with coding as well. We tried to expand the idea of what art can be by bringing in like things that we use every day, like using your phone, using a computer, just to show that art is everywhere, no matter if you're thinking about it or not.
Audrey Moore is with the group Artists Working in Education. Emily Sullivan heads up Youth and Family Programs at Milwaukee Art Museum. Are you an art teacher? What kind of activities resonate with your students online? 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up after a news update on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the arts in our life and how we've connected with museums and art projects during the pandemic. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I want to give a shout out to the Form and Feeling Expressions of Humanity online exhibit at the Bergstrom Mahler Museum of Glass. It's human emotion and figurative works of glass. Absolutely stunning. What virtual tours did you appreciate this year? How are you incorporating art into the holiday season? It's 800-642-1234. Audrey Moore is with the group Artists Working in Education, and Emily Sullivan heads up Youth and Family Programs at Milwaukee Art Museum, and they stay with us. Emily, you know, here we are in the thick of the holiday season, and we might want to incorporate some artwork into our gifts, especially kids. What kinds of activities would you recommend?
Well, we have ongoing projects on our website. We're doing Kohl's Art Studio projects every other week. We've also got our Kohl's Family Sunday events still up and running through Sunday. There we've got lots of great gift making ideas. You can make a tiny collage that can turn into an ornament, fold a piece of paper into a zine or, you know, a tiny storybook. Our executive chef is showing you how to make a winter treat, printing with
like
snowflakes. Yeah. So we've got lots of ideas there. And then also coming up, we have some fun Kohl's Art Studio videos where you can learn to make a noisemaker for New Year's Eve.
Oh, and cool. Then, that's neat.
Yeah. On New Year's Eve, early in the day for our friends that go to bed before midnight, we'll have an art countdown into the new year.
Oh, how fun. You know, I have twins, and they were downstairs doing a video last night. It was a learning to draw video. They were drawing a baby Yoda in a dressed up Santa Claus type baby Yoda. But it was so cool, Emily, they would draw a little bit. It was all you could see was the person's hand drawing, and they were going step by step. And then they would click the space bar in the computer to stop and do their, you know, catch up with their drawing. And then they would continue the video and then stop it and then do the next step. And it was incredible. I mean, I walked downstairs and I said, "I smell Sharpie. I smell Sharpie. Where is it?" You know, and I looked and I was like, "Oh my gosh, this was beautiful art." So I really think that videos can be so helpful in going, you know, through that step by step to be able to stop and start them.
Absolutely. So yeah, we're just really excited to get feedback from families in the community about things that they make. They can also email us their pictures or post them online. We're always excited to see what kids make. And then just really excited to share the museum's collection, you know, again, showing, you know, everything, things that have been in the vaults for years, as well as, you know, fan favorites that you can see hanging on the wall.
Can you like take us into the vaults? Like, you know, how large are the museum's holdings, if you could tell us, or what it is like to go through the vaults?
I don't spend much time in there, but fortunately we can find everything online.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I think kind of what the visitor sees as well as behind the scenes, you know, there's just a magic to museums.
Yeah. Audrey, what about you at the holidays? What do you like to work on with your young students, your teens?
I like to do more of a collaborative project near the end of the season, near the end of the year, then just to show that we're all in this together and kind of being able to show gratitude to to each other's art activities. I recently worked with a local artist, Linnea Sproles. She was actually putting together a mural for the social justice stroll over in Milwaukee. And we were actually able to put together a workshop where the teens and tweens of Rising Arts Council got to work with her and give feedback about what they wanted to see within the mural within Milwaukee. So people like local influencers, local activists, and just other local artists and causes that really inspired them. Those were the kind of things that Linnea was able to put in the mural. And while it wasn't necessarily a holiday-driven activity, it definitely brought in the spirit of collaboration and working together and hearing other people's voices as well.
Oh yeah, voices and listening. Can you share how this mural has turned out and what you can see in it?
It's currently still in the works, actually. About a couple weeks ago, Linnea did start working on it, actually, recently. It's going to be a pretty big mural, but she was able to incorporate a lot of different figures of different backgrounds and just beautiful colors, and she wanted to bring in the aspect and inspiration of the garden and how we're all growing together and how we all are going to be benefiting from the fruits of our labor and just from working together as well. And I think she's incorporated a little dog in there that I'm really looking forward to seeing. You got a dog in there? I want to see that dog and all these beautiful people in there. So it's something I'm really looking forward to.
Audrey, have you worked on mural projects before? Are they as big and are they a pretty extensive type of production? I mean, because when you look at a mural, it's just, they can be so breathtaking and so big. I always wonder what effort is behind it.
I've actually been able to see a couple of mural projects come to fruition. It all depends on the medium, the artist, so, and where it's located. So definitely it all depends on the location. You have to make sure you have the right, everything's up to code. You have the right permission from the right people, but then also make sure it's primed well and then that there's enough people working on it. That it's up in time and you have to think about weather that's taken into consideration. But then also we've been working with vinyl wraps, which are actually really quicker to work with and actually allows us to work with different mediums. So we can bring in digital artists. We can work in people who work with more non-traditional mediums that they can photograph their work and it become a vinyl wrap that you can see in the indoors of libraries, on bus stops, inside buildings. So we're really trying to work with different types of artists and mediums when we're thinking about public art and murals as well.
Oh, those vinyl wraps give you more flexibility, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially with I remember we've even to incorporate cyanotypes, those sun prints.
Oh yeah,
We were able to work with those with youth from Urban Ecology Center, and they were actually able to be wrapped around rain barrels. That was before COVID and everything like that. But that was just so cool to see like this sun print become like this part of this beautiful rain barrel that's kind of like comes full circle, basically. We try to work with so many different mediums when you think about public art.
Yeah. I wonder, Emily, if there's just going to be like this burst of art after the pandemic, like people will be so wanting to congregate and to create together. I'm just so curious what it will be like and what the art world will be like. What are your thoughts?
Well, I have noticed that, you know, artists I know, like they're even more productive. You know, you see online, people are revisiting things they tried as kids or sketching. So, you know, I really hope that we do see more making. You know, you can learn through making. And, you know, I think people will also just appreciate those places they could gather even more, you know, spending time in the galleries, visiting our Kohl's Art Studio in person, not just virtually, like attending the giant Kohl's Family Sunday events. So I think we're imagining it as kind of a homecoming.
Homecoming, yeah. Emily Sullivan is here, Director of Youth and Family Programs at Milwaukee Art Museum. Audrey Moore is Program Manager at Artists Working in Education, and we're discussing how Wisconsin museums and how arts organizations are bringing us together virtually in these times and taking stock of the year in art and projects. You can join in with what art projects you have worked on this year during COVID and what have you learned through art. Join in at 800-642-1234. Emily, what attracted you to art and to helping families and others and youth make art?
Well, I think I was always one of those kids that loved to draw and loved to make things. And I was lucky that my parents were supportive of that and let me play with grown-up tools and use scraps of things. So I think just having that support, it just encouraged me even more, you know, just that space to work. So, you know, we really hope that we can do that for families and, you know, help the kids and grown-ups work together and just gain enjoyment and discover something new along the way.
Audrey, where do you get ideas from? Where do you gather inspiration?
Honestly, the youth that we work with, they are so much more insightful. I think we give them credit for. I feel like for me personally, even just working with the youth for the past couple of years, especially during this time of the pandemic, I have just never seen so much resilience within them and the constant need to create. And I just want to still live throughout that as an example through them, basically. I've also been very much encouraged by the people I work with and the artists we work with. And I think it's just so important to stay connected in some way, no matter the distance that we share right now. There's still a way to connect with people through art.
Yeah, it really still can bring people together, even though it's not in person. You can still feel that connectedness.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it is a little strained via a computer screen, but I think we're all, like I've said before, like we're all just kind of like smiling and nodding, like we're all into this together. And I think there's the only expectation for everybody during this time is just that we all just give each other some grace, understand that we're all just doing our best. And I think art is such a wonderful way to do that because there is no one way to do art. I know a previous caller mentioned like art is for everybody. Art is not just for the people who are painting murals or people who are doing sculptures. It's for people who want to create something with toilet paper rolls and construction paper. It's for people who want to try out watercolor. It's for everybody.
Audrey Moore is with the organization Artists Working in Education, Emily Sullivan with Milwaukee Art Museum. Still time to talk about how art has impacted your life. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're reflecting on how the arts world helped us through this year. I want to give a shout out to the Cedarburg Art Museum and its quarantine notebooks. Did you check out the quarantine notebooks? This is a digital exhibition chronicling Wisconsin's Safer at Home order. It was collaborative. It was crowdsourced art project. Totally worth exploring. Click through at Cedarburg Art Museum. Really neat. We have Emily Sullivan from the Milwaukee Art Museum. Audrey Moore is with Artists Working in Education, and they stay with us as our guides to art in the pandemic era. Emily, can you look ahead to 2021, if I can even get it out of my mouth? What kind of programming do you expect that you're going to work on in the next year?
Well, we expect to keep up some of this virtual programming in the spring. And I think we're just ready to, you know, the word pivot has been used so many times, but we're ready to, you know, pivot back to in-person and, you know, and just be flexible. But, you know, even though we dove into this virtual programming because of the pandemic, we're also excited to retain some of it along the way and, you know, think about how it can perhaps extend into the future after we're all back in person.
Yeah, I wonder what will you retain, because some of these projects have gone really well in, you know, from videos to other things that have perhaps really fortified what you would have done in person.
Absolutely. And one thing that the teachers have noticed is that it's really exciting to be able to share videos with our families that maybe live in other states. For example, my little cousins are enjoying story time in the galleries. You know, they're on the East Coast, so ordinarily they wouldn't be able to be with me in person. So yeah. That's been really fun. Also, we've had feedback. People enjoy watching the opportunity to watch things over and over again or come back to them.
Yeah, Audrey, what will 2021 be like for you with artists working in education?
Definitely still trying to, again, retain that the virtual space. I think there are still a lot of benefits, even like what Emily said, just being able to play the projects over and over again and be able to pause and continue as you can. I think that's something that we should definitely keep moving forward with beyond the pandemic as well. I know personally, we'll still be doing virtual workshops with on the libraries as well, and also on our end over AWE. We're also trying to incorporate more of a sip and paint as well. So something that you can join in via live stream where art kits are again distributed as well. And then you have the opportunity to do a painting project with one of our artists then as well.
Oh, I love that. So what is, you're both in Milwaukee. How would you characterize the art scene and how art is doing in Milwaukee? And Emily, you first.
Well, I think it's vibrant. This is a city full of artists, full of musicians, you know, full of creative people, and also curious people. I think it's, you know, that curiosity that to learn something new that makes a place creative. We've got some great local arts organizations. You can see art in the museum or as Audrey has mentioned, on murals all around town. So yes, I'm happy to live in Milwaukee.
Audrey, how about you? What do you think the art scene is like in Milwaukee now? And how is Milwaukee maybe different from other places?
I think, definitely vibrant, like Emily said, but I also think that a lot of artists in Milwaukee are willing to collaborate more with each other, even in the virtual space. I think people are finally able to see that how their voices not only intersect, but they're also connected with each other. So I see a lot more collaborative projects going on with each other from different artists, different organizations. And I think people are bringing these ties together through art to show that Milwaukee is such a beautifully diverse and has many different layers to it as well. And I think that that's definitely something that has been a thing for Milwaukee before the pandemic and still going to be continuing for Milwaukee afterwards.
But maybe because we've had to all really come together in this virtual sense and help out our neighbors, we're realizing that maybe we're more connected than we thought we were. I mean, certainly lessons learned, I would imagine, Audrey.
Definitely. I think especially, yes, we are all more connected than we realized. And I think it's unfortunate that we had to see that through the pandemic. But I think also it's helped us see the light within everybody to know mm-hmm. that we are capable of working together with one another.
Well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Emily Sullivan, Director of Youth and Family Programs at Milwaukee Art Museum. Audrey Moore, Program Manager at Artists Working in Education. We have some fantastic links to art and projects and videos. It's all at WPR.org/mornings. And for disclosure, Milwaukee Art Museum is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. The COVID-19 pandemic has claimed the lives of more than 4,000 people in Wisconsin. And this week, WPR is profiling some of the people we've lost. Today, Wisconsin Life's Maureen McCollum tells us about six nuns from the School Sisters of Notre Dame and School Sisters of St. Francis who died at a Milwaukee area convent in April and early May.
At Our Lady of the Angels Convent, nuns gather to play cards, create art, and pray the rosary. The Greenfield home opens its doors to nuns who need specialized memory care, former educators and caretakers who have dementia or Alzheimer's. It's also a place that was hit hard by COVID-19 in the early days of the pandemic. Here's Sister Mary Dietz.
I think there was a sense of shock. Well, first of all, because we hadn't had much COVID.
Sister Kathleen O'Brien adds that it was a scary time, since they knew more than one person would likely contract COVID. She says the women were older, which is common in their community.
And we all tend to live quite long lives, even into being 100, you'll see.
The first nun to pass at Our Lady of the Angels was Sister Mary Regine Collins. The 95-year-old was an artist known for her wood carvings in churches and convents across the country. Sister Regine taught art at what is now Mount Mary University. Sister Sue Hedebrug says her art pulled people in.
She believed that creativity is a religious act. It's our human connection to God, who is the ultimate creative force in our world.
The day after Sister Regine passed, Sister Marie-June Skender died at age 83. After taking her vows, she played the organ and ran choirs at churches. She taught in schools and cared for people in retirement homes across Wisconsin.
She was a very good listener. People loved her around because of the kindness and the way she listened to them.
A couple days later, Sister Mary Francile Sherburn died at age 99. She dedicated her life to writing and education. Sister Sue says she was also passionate about kite flying.
She said one time that she believes people are like kites. They need to fly. I mean, to be free, do what God's called you to do.
By mid-April, the fourth nun at Our Lady of the Angels Convent died of COVID. Sister Anelda Holtkamp was 102 and spent most of her life caring for her fellow sisters in Wisconsin as a homemaker.
She did some social work and she also went and cared for the elderly. Very patient with the elderly that she worked with. And every picture I've seen of her, she has the most beautiful smile.
About a week later, Sister Bernadette Kelter passed away at age 88. She spent half of her vocation as a teacher and the other half as a home health aide.
I admired that about her. Just changing your life, and then as you get older, that's also physically demanding.
And on May 1st, a sixth nun died from COVID at 94. Sister Josephine Sire cared for her fellow sisters as a homemaker in convents and was certified in elderly care. Sister Mary says Sister Josephine treated her like a daughter.
Josie really led a lot of fun activities. She loved to read historical fiction, woman after my own heart, and I think just had a passion for people and for making people happy.
Sister Mary, Sister Sue, and Sister Kathleen say the women's faith and kindness live on.
You know, none of them wrote a book or built a company or anything that a lot of people count as an important legacy, but you know, every single one of them changed lives.
I think they were people who were not pushing their agenda or their ego as they lived out their life. They were quietly and powerfully sharing the gifts that God gave them.
When a sister dies and has lived a good life, we celebrate because we know we now have that saint in heaven looking after us.
Maureen McCollum, Wisconsin Public Radio.